following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
What's up, Refuge family? Welcome back to another Refuge Daily. My name's Noah. Super glad to be here with you guys. Today we're going to be talking about something that I've been teaching to my junior high students. We've been going through a series called Stretch. And Stretch is entirely based on the concept of faith. How do we grow our faith? Is it important to grow our faith as believers? Is that something that God does, or is it something that we do in our daily walk with the Lord? So that's what we're talking about, and we call it Stretch because we're trying to imagine our faith as a muscle. Because if your faith was a muscle, how flexible would it be? Could it stretch to your knees, shins, toes, or you're not even sure you have faith to stretch in the first place? So in the same way that we would stretch our body to increase flexibility or strength, we want to stretch our faith. And if you want a faith that is strong, growing, and capable of carrying you through difficult challenges, you're going to need to stretch it. And no matter how far you think your faith can stretch right now, if you want your faith to grow, you just got to stretch it. And this month, that's what I challenged my students. We're going to stretch our faith together. And I told them it might be fun, it might be challenging, but it's definitely going to be worthwhile. But here's the key. Whether it's your body or your faith, stretching only works if you commit to actually doing it. If you stretch like once every month, is that gonna increase your flexibility? Of course not, that's dumb. So it's about making that commitment to stretch our faith daily, weekly. How do we do that? I cannot tell you how many times I have bought a gym membership and like I'm committed this year, I'm gonna go to the gym every single week, every single day, and I'm gonna get buff, work out. I have wasted so much money in gym memberships, it's ridiculous. And that really kind of taught me the lesson, no matter what goal I'm trying to achieve, commitment is an essential part of that process. Whether it's school, a job, your own family, all of that requires commitment. And many of us, including myself, have treated faith the same way before. When we go through a certain season, whether it's a busy season, we want results, but we don't commit to regularly doing the work that would stretch our faith. We get excited about Jesus, but after a few days, weeks, or months, our commitment decreases along with our excitement. So in Scripture, we can actually learn a lot about how to stretch our own faith from the stories and the words of Jesus' followers who have gone before us. And one of those people is someone that I've talked about before on a Refuge Daily, Paul. Paul is a guy who experienced a major life change when he met Jesus, and that drove him to make a lifelong commitment to follow him. Paul used to be so opposed, which is crazy, so opposed to Christianity that he was responsible for threatening, arresting, imprisoning, and even killing a lot of the early followers of Jesus. But when Paul met Jesus, everything changed. He turned away from what he used to believe about Jesus and quickly became one of the most well-known leaders of the early church. And Paul's life changed almost immediately because of Jesus. And unlike my failure in, you know, going to the gym that I shared with you, Paul didn't fail to follow through on his new commitment with the Lord. Paul committed to following Jesus with his whole life. And then he started writing these letters to his fellow Jesus followers that we still read from today, to help them do the same, to make that commitment to follow Jesus. And one of the letters Paul wrote was to a group of Christians in Rome, and we now call that book Romans. And the goal of this letter was to explain that salvation can only be found through Jesus, as it says in Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul wanted the Romans to understand that Jesus could save them from their sin, their mistakes, failures, and rebellion against God. But Paul also wanted to make sure that the Romans understood that salvation isn't just about eternity, it's about right now, our faith, our act of faith that we're living. Romans 6, 1 through 4 kind of speaks more to this and that concept of salvation. And it says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Paul's asking this. Now that you know Jesus, do you want things to stay the same? Do you want to keep struggling with the same stuff? Or do you want to stretch an experience of faith that is growing and getting stronger? Paul didn't pretend it would be always be easy. Being baptized into Jesus' death doesn't exactly sound fun. But just like Jesus made a commitment to us to die for us, Paul challenges us to make a commitment to him, to die to ourselves and live for him. Throughout scripture, again, Paul wasn't the only example. We see many people that made commitments to turn away from their old lives and start new ones following Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, we get another instance of some individuals who do that. Matthew 4 verses 18 through 20. I'm going to read that. It says, "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will send you out to fish for people.' At once they left their nets and followed him." Peter and Andrew had normal lives and secure careers as fishermen, pretty good fishermen at that. But everything changed when they committed to following Jesus. And you might think it takes a lot of faith to drop everything, including an established career, to follow Jesus. But this was just the first of many moments for Peter and Andrew that would stretch their faith. They made a commitment and they spent the rest of their lives living it out. Years later, Peter and Andrew became apostles of the early church, sharing the good news of Jesus despite dangerous circumstances. Peter even became one of the most important figures in the entire history of the church, and that's a big deal, and it all started with this one commitment. And if you look at Peter's transformation, he went from denying Jesus three times to becoming a foundational pillar inside the church, the early church. That's insane, and that really shows the power of what Jesus does when we make that commitment and pursue our faith. In Luke 24, I'm not going to read the passage, but Mary Magdalene was a woman who committed to following Jesus after her life changed entirely. But while it was probably fun and exciting to follow Jesus when he was healing people and telling stories, it got a lot harder when Jesus was imprisoned and eventually killed. But Mary was committed to Jesus, so committed that she stayed close to him even after he died. And while many of the men who followed Jesus fled and went into hiding after his death, Mary went to Jesus' tomb to prepare and honor his body. And because of her commitment to Jesus, even in his death, she was the first person to see Jesus alive again, which I think is pretty cool. And the first person to share the resurrection stories with others, which is even cooler. So scripture is filled with stories of people whose faith was strong, who did big things for God. But so is our community. There's a lot of people at Refuge, a lot of people who are overseas serving as missionaries right now, who are actively living their faith and that lifelong commitment to Jesus. One particular story that has always stood out to me is the story of Chet Lowe and his missionary stories. He has a book called The Living Parable. Intense stories of where his family is just actively relying on the Lord for faith, and it's this incredible journey. I really encourage you guys to read it. He goes through so much, from moving to Africa, Liberia, where he was a missionary for a number of years, and to having a ministry to child soldiers, kids who were kind of forced into warfare, and just pouring out his heart to those kids by helping them medically and then eventually teaching the gospel to them. Incredible story of faith, and it impacts people around. So for thousands of years, God has been helping people like Chet Lowe, like Peter, like Paul, like Mary. God has been helping people to stretch their faith. And we can do that too. We can stretch our faith, and we can start that with a commitment. And so the question that kind of, all the questions that kind of boil around here is, so do you want your faith to grow? Do you want it to get stronger? 10 years from now, what do you want your faith to look like? Do you want to still be following Jesus? Do you want to love God more than you do today? Or do you want to be able to love people more than you do today, making a lasting impact in this world? I can tell you, my dad, I love to see his faith stretch and grow. My dad has been a faithful follower as long as I can remember, growing up, as you guys heard in my testimony last week. But one of the things that my dad always refused to do was go on mission trips. He just didn't want to do it. And he was like, "I will send people, I will support people, but I don't want to go myself." And what did the Lord do to stretch his faith? He called him to go on a mission trip. He went to Kenya with myself and my older brother, where we visited the Fergusons, and it was a fantastic time. And since then, my dad has consistently gone on a mission trip every summer to Romania afterward. And that is a God growing a man's faith, stretching and growing him. I thought it was kind of hilarious. But in the end, God was growing my dad's faith, and that's an incredible thing to witness. That starts with a commitment. Starts with a commitment today to stretch and keep stretching. I labeled out and kind of created a bunch of points for my junior hires on commitments that they could do. And I think that they could apply to you guys. They might not, but I think they can. There are five stretch commitments that I'm going to go through really quickly. First one, show up. All right, start committing weekly to show up to church, to listen, discuss, and consider how God might want your faith to be stretched this year. So the first step in any sort of commitment is, you know, get plugged into a fellowship. Come to church, come go to a Bible study, go to a small group. That was my encouragement to my junior hires. We have a Zoom Bible study every single week. Show up to the Zoom Bible study where we learn and grow and study the Bible together. That's a really important step. Another commitment that the junior hires could do is follow Jesus. If you've never made a commitment to follow Jesus before, or you've just kind of, you know, been following your parents or other people, hey, today might be a great day to start on what does it mean to be a committed follower of Jesus. So maybe you've made that commitment to Jesus before, and recently your excitement has faded into the background and you're having a tough time keeping your commitment going. And if that's you, today's the day. Get back in the game. Let's do it. That is another commitment. Another one, love God. Maybe you already love God, you're pretty committed to following Jesus, but you want to grow in your relationship with the Lord. You know, when we talk about discipleship and what it means to grow in the Lord, it's this continuous thing. You're never going to make it to level 100 and be like, I did it. I am completely fulfilled in the Lord. I am 100%. We're homies. I can't sin now. No, we're always going to be growing. We're going to make the same mistakes over and over again. And yet we want to pursue the Lord and continually pursue the Lord no matter what challenges, mistakes, or anything that we do. And that starts again with a commitment on loving God. Loving others. We could use a lot more of this around our world and especially our nation, given the political season we're in. Loving others. No matter who they are, your enemies, your friends, your family that are distant, love them. Jesus said in many different ways that if we're going to love God well, we have to love each other well. And so maybe the best way for you to stretch your faith right now is to ask God for help to love someone that you're struggling to love. That is a fantastic one. And the last one that I told the junior hires, ask questions. If you're not ready to make any of those other commitments, if you don't know if you want to follow the Lord, if you are having a hard time loving people, start asking questions. If you have doubts, right now with the high school and junior high on Wednesday nights, we are asking or answering questions that the junior hires and high schoolers had. We had them write down the questions and we're answering those to ask away those doubts. God wants you to inquire of him. He wants you to ask questions. He wants you to find the answers in his word. And so you may not ever find the answer you're looking for, but there might be something new for you to discover. I want to encourage that. Jesus, there's a safe place to look for those questions, and there's always an awesome, fulfilling answer in the Lord. And that's an encouragement that I can genuinely say that I have gone down that path of asking, doubting, wondering. Yet in the end, Jesus was there to answer and fulfill all those needs and wants that I could ever have. So something really, really encouraging, I hope to you guys. It was encouraging to me and my junior hires as we all kind of partake on this journey to stretch our faith and what that means by completely surrendering everything in the Lord, knowing that, hey, I might have questions, I might have doubts, but the Lord is there to answer those things. So I really encourage you guys to make that commitment by any of those things. I'm gonna go over them really quickly again, to show up. So start attending, you know, church, Bible studies. Follow Jesus is the second one, to make that commitment to follow the Lord, to love God more and more every day, no matter the mistakes we make, to love others, no matter how you feel about them, because that really demonstrates faith and love, and then to ask questions, doubts or anything that we may have, to ask any of us as pastors and why so many people have decided to follow Jesus. It's a safe place for it. So I'm going to close in a word of prayer, and that's all I have. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you that you are actively working in us to transform and build our faith. I pray that you would help us do that, Lord, as we go daily, as we walk daily, Lord, that you would just give us the confidence and the capability to grab our faith, Lord, to hold on to it and to surrender it, Lord, that we may grow, that we may seek you and all the things that we pursue. Lord, and I pray that you would just give us that wisdom and discernment as we walk to seek your will and to rely on you. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your heart toward us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Have a good one, guys. Have a blessed Thursday.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-815-7000. 891-9495. Set free.